The New Covenant by Tom L. Ballinger. The name New suggests that it is in contrast with old. Its very name suggests that it is the replacement of one that could be referred to as an old covenant. As we consider the New Covenant, we need to keep before us the premise that truth written in the past and relating to a fulfillment in the future must not be read or interpreted of the present dispensation. Covenants belong to Israel. Gentiles, as such, never entered into any covenant relationship with God. Israel was Jehovah's covenant people. The covenants were made with the fathers of Israel. Romans 9:4 tells us that to Israel pertains the covenants. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:12 wrote of the Gentiles' past dispensational disadvantage when he said, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." Covenants relate to the nation of Israel and pertain to truth associated to the future kingdom of God, not present truth of the mystery. Notice Isaiah's reference to the covenant and its association. "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an age-abiding covenant with them." Isaiah 61:6-8. The context in Isaiah 61, which deals with Israel during the Day of Vengeance, verse 2, and the pre-millennium kingdom of God, when Gentiles, as strangers and aliens, shall feed Israel's flocks and be their plowmen. It is then that the age-abiding covenant will be in operation. This covenant is called a new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31-34. Notice with whom this new covenant is to be made. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant, i.e. old, that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, not the church of the mystery. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they, i.e. Israel, shall be my people." Jeremiah 31:31-33. In Jeremiah 32:37-40, mention is made of the fact that God will gather Israel out of all of the nations and will bring them into the land again, where they will dwell safely and in reality be God's people. He will give them one heart and one way, and he will establish with Israel an age-abiding covenant. This deals with Israel's restoration during the pre-millennium kingdom of God, when the new covenant will be in full force. Jeremiah again referred to, "In those days and in that time, shall the children of Israel and Judah seek the Lord their God. They will join themselves to God with an age-abiding covenant." Jeremiah 54:5. Not a single reference to a new covenant in the Old Testament is related to the church, which is his body. Now we will make note of the use of this new covenant in the New Testament Greek scripture. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26:27-28. "And he said unto them, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Mark 14:24-25. Notice that in Matthew 26:29, as well as in Mark 14:25, the new covenant is connected with the kingdom, which is a reference to Israel's restoration and the times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19-21. This is vividly brought out in the account of the same event in Luke's gospel, Luke 22:7-20. And then it is noted that the eating of the bread and drinking of the cup is vitally connected with the Jewish feast of the Passover. For the Lord Jesus said in Luke 22:15, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Then in verse 19:20, he took bread and he gave thanks, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you." What the Passover was to the old covenant, the Lord's Supper is to the new covenant. Continuing reading in Luke 22:29, 30, it is observed that the Lord's Supper is associated with the kingdom and the 12 apostles sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The next reference to the new covenant is in 1 Corinthians 11:25, where Paul told the Corinthian ecclesia what he had received from the Lord concerning the night in which he was betrayed. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11:25. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." This shows that the New Testament is connected with the coming of Christ, which will be the consummation of the kingdom. The apostle made mention again of the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 3:5, 6. "But our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant." In this chapter, Paul compared the glory of the old covenant, verse 14, which is done away in Christ, with the glory of the new covenant. Thus we see that Paul, during the book of Acts, considered himself an able minister of the new covenant. Hebrews 7:22 speaks of a better covenant, and of course the new was better than the old. In Hebrews 8, we note that Paul mentions a better covenant which was established upon better promises than the first covenant. He restated that the new covenant was made with the house of Israel and Judah, verse 8. During the Acts period, believing Israelites were operating under the new covenant. Believers of the gospel of the kingdom were having a foretaste of the kingdom. It is said that they had tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Hebrews 6:5. In the course of the Acts period, it was said, "In saying a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away." Hebrews 8:13. In summary, what we have is this. For those Israelites who believed the gospel of the kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant was in force. The old covenant was still in force for those Jews who did not believe the gospel that the kingdom of God was at hand. For the Israelites who were not repentant during the Acts period, the old covenant was not abolished. Yet for the repentant, the new covenant had simply been superimposed over the old. The new is to be officially established when the Lord Jesus Christ begins his reign from heaven during his day, that is, the day of Christ. This will be the time when old and new covenant believers will be raised from the dead and have the new covenant written on the table of their hearts. The foregoing should indicate to the reader that the new covenant is connected with 1. The premillennial kingdom of God, 2. The house of Israel and the house of Judah, 3. The Passover, 4. The Lord's Supper, 5. The blood of Christ, 6. Better promises, 7. Better testament. All of these are truths written in a past dispensation, Pentecostal, relating to a brief period of the past, that is, during the Acts period, and will find its ultimate fulfillment in a future dispensation, that of Israel's coming kingdom, that is, the premillennial kingdom. Covenant truth is not present truth for the church, which is his body. Our present truth is a new, unique, and majestic truth, exclusively made known to the Apostle Paul, and to him alone as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:1-4:1. The Bible refers to this truth as the mystery, or the secret, abridged and edited.